السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن ولده ولا مولود هو جاز عن والده شيئا، إن وعد الله حق فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers, and also our sisters listening over receivers, we find ourselves in the month of Safar, in the initial stages of the month of Safar, just coming out of the month of Muharram. And with regards to the month of Muharram, we know that it was a month of great virtue, a month of sanctity, and amongst the Ashhurul Hurum. And in this month we found that Allah Ta'ala's mercy descended, and the various virtues that we heard our ulama-i kiram explaining. And in fact, with regards to the month of Muharram, one alim beautifully mentioned that our Islamic calendar starts with Muharram. And literally Muharram means honorable, respectable. And in contrast, if we look at the months of our secular calendar, we find it starts with January. So he says in Urdu, it starts with January. So in Urdu, Janwar means an animal. And if we look at Muharram, it is honorable. So the difference is that we find that in Islam, there is nobility, there is honor, there is dignity. And in the ways of the disbelievers and those who violate the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we find it leads us to everything but insaniyat, where man starts aping and adopting the ways of animals. Now, it might be light-hearted, but if we look at it carefully and we analyze it, our ulama-i kiram, the objective of such examples is to highlight and to emphasize within our hearts that the beautiful deen which we have received from our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if we look at it, if we analyze it, and if we look at each and every injunction and each and every teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and every single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find nothing but honor, dignity for humanity at large. And if we look at the ways of the kuffar and those who disbelieve and violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we analyze it, and we remove the outward glitter and glamour, then we will realize it is nothing but filth. Take for example the cleanliness. Outwardly they appear very clean and they apply beautiful and expensive fragrances. But if you look at the core, the manner in which they wash themselves, I will never forget, I had a friend in the Darul Uloom and he was approached by Christian missionaries. And he argued with them on the point that if you look at the manner in which you clean yourselves, and he said if you put polish on your skin and then you take that polish and you try and wipe it, will that polish ever be removed? So he said, how would you remove the polish? You'll have to take water, some liquid, and then remove it. So he said, that's what you do when you go to the toilet. And he said, look at us as Muslims, how we purify ourselves. So every, the minutest of detail has been taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and there is no shame in it whatsoever. So if we look at their culture and their lifestyle, then outwardly, there appears to be a lot of glitter and glamour, but in reality it is nothing but filth. So they do not, first of all, purify themselves properly in the toilet. And then many of them go and submerge themselves in the bubble bath. Now, first of all, there is napaki on their body. And then that napaki then mixes in that water. And then they come out in that state and then they towel themselves and they apply beautiful fragrance. So that is the reality of their culture. Look at the manner, the type of food which they eat. And if you look at their morality and their lifestyle, the famous example which we have heard, I was at Maulana saying over and over again, with regards to that person who was driving in the car and he had the dog on the passenger side and he was eating the toffee and he was giving the dog to eat the toffee. Now we know the amount of filth, even they have admitted the amount of bacteria that is found in the saliva of these animals. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the deen and there is nothing but beauty, there is nothing but success in this force. So we find that the month of Safar is a month of the Islamic calendar. And many people have superstitious beliefs with regards to this month. But we find that this has been clarified to us by the ulama-i kiram and by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Superstition and bad luck, if it comes, the first thing we should look is our lifestyle. Are we pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If a person is displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person is violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the greatest bad luck. Because he has the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused upon him. And then if a person then reads wazifas, or he wears ta'weezes, but if he is not pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be no effect in these wazifas. So it is like the example which Hazrat Maulana Ibrahim Haq Sahib gives, where once they were traveling in a car, and a person in that heat, the aircon was switched on. But still they were finding that the car was still very, very hot. Hazrat Maulana asked, is the aircon on? He says, yes, the aircon is on. Why is the car not getting cool? And then they realized a window was open. The moment the window was closed, the car immediately became cool. So from this he derived a beautiful example that the aircon was functioning and it was performing its duty. But the window of sins was open. So because of that, the hot air from outside was coming inside and causing the car to remain warm. So he says, in the same way, all the wazifas and the various good deeds which we perform, definitely there is an effect in it. But when we have the window of sins open, sins through our eyes, the window of sins through our ears, the window of sins through our tongue, the window of sins through our heart and mind, then we will not find the desired effect in those wazifas and in that good deeds which we are performing. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to completely remove sins from our lives. So coming back to this ayat which I recited. In this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people, fear your Rabb. Ittaqu Rabbakum. Fear your Rabb. And we find this taqwa, it comes in various places of the Qur'an-i Kareem. In fact, in one ayah which comes to mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That if the people of a village, the gist of the ayah, if they bring iman and if they adopt taqwa, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up blessings from the skies and the earth. And if we look at the current situation in the world, especially in the southern hemisphere, we know what is happening in Australia, what is happening in Brazil, and even in our own country, they say that the dams are over 100% full. So definitely we should feel pity for any human being who is suffering anywhere in the world. And we should never ever say that it is because of their sins. In fact, we should say it is because of our sins. Even if the majority of them are non-believers, we should feel pity. And those who pass away and die in that condition, and if they die without iman, then we should feel even more pity. But it is a great lesson for us, that look at the power and the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that countries which may be very, very powerful, but they cannot stop the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the water to come down and continue coming down, then look at the destruction that it can cause. And look at the havoc and the devastation that it is causing. And it is not only that country that is being affected. If you look at the country of Australia, we know that they are among the biggest exporters of coal. And that then causes the entire economies of the world to feel the pinch of this. So we should regard it as our sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then causes destruction or causes a type of mischief to permeate throughout the world. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. That corruption and mischief becomes apparent in the land because of the actions and the deeds of insan. So first of all, we should look into our own lives, that we need to adopt taqwa in our own lives. Now what is this taqwa? This taqwa in simple language is Allah consciousness. To be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. That wherever we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. And in the hadith which I mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْ. Wherever you may be, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt taqwa in your life. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. Wherever you may be, in whichever condition, whether a person is in the plane, whether a person is at the airport, whether a person is walking through the shopping complexes or in the bazaars or marketplaces, then this is the time that he needs to be more on guard. And he has to be more aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. In the masjid environment, it is very easy when we have an environment where people are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we are on our own, when we are in our businesses, and when we are walking through the shopping complexes, then these eyes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, are we using it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or are we using these very given ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to displease Him? If we look at it very carefully, the eyes which we have, or the ears which we have, or the tongue which we have, these are all ni'mats and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not correct for us then to use these bounties to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَخْشَوْ يَوْمًا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَنْ وَلَدِي وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَنْ وَالِدِهِ شَيْئًا. And fear such a day when the father will not be able to benefit the child and neither will the child be able to benefit the father. Now Mufassirin mentioned that this refers to a disbelieving father and a disbelieving son. That if the father was a believer and the son was a disbeliever, then that believing father on the day of Qiyamah will not be able to help and assist the son if he was a disbeliever. And on the other hand, if the father was a disbeliever and the son had brought Iman and he was a Muslim and a mu'min, then he will not be able to benefit that father and he will not be able to be of any avail to him on the day of Qiyamah. With regards to believers, then we find in various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and various ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that a son who is pious, he will be of benefit to the father. And a father who is pious, or a wife who is pious, will be of benefit to the spouse. And the father will be a benefit to the child. So, Iman is such a great ni'mah, which will not only benefit us in this world, but it will also benefit us in the year after. In fact, another ayat comes to mind, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also discusses taqwa. And we hear this ayah very often, and always we hear it on the occasion of nikah, that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That, O believers, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak that which is correct. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then correct your actions and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So if a person adopts taqwa in his marriage, that is why it is being recited on that occasion. Because it is very essentially important that in our marriages and in our interpersonal relationships, there too taqwa is a very essential ingredient. It is important, it cannot be subtracted from the life of any believer. So if a person adopts taqwa in his marriage and in all his actions and in all his relationships, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then correct all his actions. So Mufassirin mentioned very beautifully that this refers to his actions with regards to the year after. And they have also said that with regards to his actions of this world, his affairs in this world, if a person adopts taqwa in his life, then he will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will solve his problems. And this then is substantiated by another verse of the Quran Sharif, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That the one who adopts taqwa, who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will make a way out from him, from all his difficulties. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide from him from sources which he would not ever remember. He would never have thought of. So this taqwa is very, very essential. And to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us. And we should not do any action which will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all, is our nourisher, our sustainer, the one who has been so kind and so merciful to us. It is only fair that then we use these bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please him. وَخْشَوْ يَوْمَا لَا يَجْزِي وَالِدٌ عَوْ وَلَدِي وَلَا مَوْلُودٌ هُوَ جَازٍ عَوْ وَالِدِي شَيْئًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true. And here Mufassirin have mentioned the promise with regards to the Day of Judgment. That this Day of Judgment is sure to come. It is a reality. Our life in this world is very, very short. It is ephemeral, it is temporary. We are going to leave this world. People are born and people are dying. We look every day, we find people are being born and every day people are dying. Now look at these floods which have taken place. Look at the landslides which have taken place in Brazil. And throughout the world, the different natural disasters and the wars and the fighting and the violence that is taking place. People are dying every single day. Accidents on the road. This is a great lesson for us. And unfortunately, we find that if I look at my own self, and if you look at our lives, that whenever a calamity befalls any person or any community, then we always feel that it is only they who have been affected. We become very, very immune to it and we feel that it will not happen to us. As we have just said, we are saying that the dams are over 100% full. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. But it is a great lesson and we should never feel that we are safe. We also have to adopt this taqwa in our lives. And we have to make sure that we are always pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because remember, if we are going to earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is no power in the world, there is no force in the world that can prevent the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it descends on a person. If the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is focused on a person, then whether the person migrates to another country or whether the person goes to the moon, but that focus of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger will follow him wherever he may be. Sometimes a person may feel that in this country we have a very high crime rate. So if I go to another country, then I will not be affected by crime. But at the end of the day, if some calamity is to befall a person because of his sins, because of the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being focused upon him, then if he runs away to another country, can he run away from the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The entire world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nay, in fact, the entire universe belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever a person goes, he is under the command and under the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can never escape the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us then always make sure that we are always in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and never ever in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not even a split second. For we never know that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger focuses on a person, that could be the end of the person. May Allah ta'ala all protect us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. This day of Qiyamah is definitely to come. It is a reality. It is haq. And if you look at it, this world is a place of so much injustice. A person sometimes is totally innocent and all his wealth is stolen, or he is deceived, or he is taken for a ride, or innocent people are being killed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up this day of Qiyamah wherein justice will take place to such an extent that it comes in riwayat that if a goat had horns and it had rammed another goat without horns, then on the day of Qiyamah so much justice will take place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the goat without horns to receive horns on the day of Qiyamah and that it will be commanded to ram that goat which had rammed it in this world. So this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So on the day of Qiyamah, justice will take place. إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so now what should you do, O insan? How should you make sure that you succeed? فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let this world deceive you. Now remember, respected elders and brothers, this world, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jahannam such that it is disguised with things which outwardly appear very, very attractive and very, very tempting. The same is this condition with this world. that outwardly everything seems very, very attractive and very, very beautiful. But if you really look at it and you really analyze it, then the reality of this world is nothing but of no real value. If you look at this building, if we look at the building, the beautiful paint, if a person has to take out the paint, what will he find behind? He will find cement and bricks. If he takes out the bricks and he starts breaking the bricks, what will he find? Sand and stones. That's the reality of this world. If a person takes a very, very expensive car, a million rand car, but then if he takes out the seats and he starts taking out the stitching of the seats, what will he get? Leather. Underneath the leather, what will he get? Sponge. Beneath the sponge, what will he get? Spring made of metal. Where does the metal come? It comes from the earth. That is the reality of this world. Take a beautiful, handsome person. What is the reality? Skin. Behind the skin is nothing but flesh. Behind the flesh is nothing but bones. And bones will turn to dust. That is the reality of this world, respected elders and brothers. It is a deception. Outwardly it appears very, very beautiful. But in reality, it is of no real value. In comparison to Akhirah, I was mentioning to some students this morning, that if you look at Akhirah, then it comes in riwayat, that one hur of Jannat, if she has to expose just her scarf to this world, then it will dazzle the entire world. And it comes in riwayat that if she has to spit into the ocean, then the waters of the ocean will turn sweet. Now if you look at the hur of Jannah, they are like the maids of Jannah. Very, very beautiful, but they are like the maids of Jannah. So now, just the scarf of the maid of Jannah is more valuable than the entire world in other riwayat. So can we imagine what is the value of other things of Jannah? And then what is the value of this world then in comparison to Jannah? And the famous hadith which we have heard many times with regards to the value of this world, not even been equal to the wing of the mosquito. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. And do not let shaitan deceive you. Shaitan will then give us long hopes. No, you will still live very long. Shaitan will say, no, you can always make tawbah tomorrow. No, respect to the elders and brothers. The time to change our lives, the time to make tawbah is now. Because we do not know whether we are going to live tomorrow. We do not know whether we are going to get another opportunity to make tawbah. And we do not know that if we indulge in this particular sin, we never know that our death could come in that condition. As our Hazrat Maulana always says, remember what if. So respect to the elders and brothers, our time has run out. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the ability to adopt this taqwa in our lives and to adopt good character in our lives and to emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let us realize that this beautiful way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this beautiful deen of Islam, it is nothing but beauty, it is nothing but perfection in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the tawfiq to make amal, and Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the calamities which the entire Muslim community and humanity at large is facing. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.